If you think politics will save Washington, you're looking in the wrong manger. Long before presidents and governors, a baby in Bethlehem shattered the illusion that government is God. In a state squeezed by prices, policies, and one-party rule, Luke chapter 2 calls us back to the Savior who brings peace in the mess, not after it's all cleaned up. Let's talk about why Jesus is our only Messiah and why your vote still deeply matters. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, we are going to dive into our series, Getting to Know Jesus. If you're enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Today's title is Power in a Manger, and we're going to learn about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. All right, before we do that, we're going to talk about what is happening in Washington. Now, sometimes our what is happening in Washington applies to the scriptures. Sometimes we're just simply informing you about what is happening, and then we read the scriptures. Either way, we're accomplishing our goal, which is to change our heart so that we change the public square. So if you're a financial supporter, thank you for helping us accomplish that goal. All right, so what's happening in Washington? Squeezed by the $8 juice in Seattle right now. The story behind the $8 juice is bigger than just a pricey drink. When you stack a $21.30 minimum wage on top of steep event fees, permits, and regulatory costs, every single hour of labor is over $4 more expensive than it is in Spokane, where the statewide minimum wage is $17.13. The gap sounds small, but across a whole staff and a long event day, it means vendors have to charge more just to survive, not to get rich. So what's happening? High mandated wages, layers of regulation, and rising prices are squeezing small businesses until their margins almost disappear, especially in big cities like Seattle. So as we go into this voting season, we've been thinking a lot about affordability and what is causing housing prices, food prices, things like this, $8 juices to come out. It's regulation. A free and fair market will eliminate that because people will compete healthy and they will begin to move in those areas. If it's people want to purchase it, they purchase it. If they don't, they don't. Customers feel the pain at the counter, but the vendors behind the counter are feeling the pain as well. In policy conversations, we're trying to help workers, but when the rules and costs pile up this high, we can end up hurting the very small businesses and families we say we care about. So what do we need to change? Well, we've had one party rule for a long time in Washington. Democrats have owned the House, the Senate, the governor's branches, the judicial branch. They've owned most of the counties and the city, the large cities. So if the problem is one party and you're saying, man, it is too expensive to rule, to live in Washington, what if we just tried something a little bit different, right? What if we said, what if there's other people out there that are going to make fair and free markets that just simply the demand in the market drives the pricing? What if that happened? Instead of we trying to regulate and play into all this. So I want to encourage you, everyone needs to steward 10 to win. We need you to steward 10 people, make sure they fill out their ballots, turn them in, and get out there and vote. And let's vote different this year. Let's try something different. Let's see if we can't change this state back to the freedom that we experienced as kids. All right, so let's dive into Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This is the first census taken while Quirinius was governor over Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child." All right, so I love this. So Mary, a virgin, God came in through Gabriel and said, hey, guess what? You are supernaturally going to have a child placed in your womb, and you are going to give birth, and this child is going to be the Messiah. Could you imagine having that message? And then we have Joseph, who is from the lineage of who? David, which it says that the Messiah will come from from the lineage of David, in order to register along with Mary. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to a firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll be find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Can you imagine that? The smallest little things. And this is where I want to keep our politics really focused. Oftentimes we think of power, we think of position, we think of, you know, riding in on the white horse. And what God teaches us here is that there can be a dynamite, a great movement of God in those little packages, the son, the manger, the Messiah laying there. See, the Jewish people believed that Jesus was going to come in as a ruling king, but first he came as a humble servant. And you might be here to and listening today, and you're thinking about running for office, or you're running for office right now, I guess. And I wanted you to talk to you about civil servants. In other words, serving culture and society. Whether you are a Republican, a Democrat, independent, libertarian, whatever you might be, your job is to be a servant, to be humble, like Jesus is humble. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. So it's interesting because the angel said up here, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." All right, so they had a sign. So they came in a hurry and found the way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. It was fulfilled very instantly. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at all the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. All right, so we have Jesus, the Messiah, born. And I just got to remind us, President Trump is not the Messiah. Governor Bob Ferguson is not the Messiah. Patty Murray is not the Messiah. Maria Cantwell is not the Messiah. Michael Baumgartner is not the Messiah. None of these elected officials are the Messiah. There's only one, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again that we may have eternal life. So what are these elected? What is President Trump? What is Governor Bob Ferguson? What is Maria Cantwell, Patty Murray, you know, Michael Baumgartner? What are they? The Bible describes them in Romans as ministers of God. In other words, they're servants. They're civil servants of God. There's only one Messiah who came from Mary and Joseph. Well, Mary was the virgin, but Joseph was basically kind of like the stepdad, you might say. But we know there's only one Messiah. And he came, he was witnessed by these shepherds that this was going to be a miraculous event. It is Jesus Christ the Lord. So this passage clarifies that God's decisive work often happens far from the centers of power, right in the lives of people who feel squeezed by systems that they don't control. It exposes the false narrative that peace will come only when politics, housing, and safety all line up perfectly. Instead, Luke 2 says, true peace comes through a Savior who meets us in the mess, not after it's cleaned up. When the swirl of Washington policies and Spokane headlines, God is inviting trust over fear, courage over despair, and a posture of worship rather than anxiety, because unto you a Savior has been born. So this passage helps us to interpret the current moment as a context for discipleship. We need to learn from this. learning to see Christ's kingdom breaking in, even while refusing to let the moment's crises define our hope. So we are not going to be a people who place our hope into an elected official. We're going to be people who place our hope in Jesus Christ. Now, as soon as I say that, some people say, so, okay, I won't vote then. Can we just grow up a little bit? I mean, I hate to be rude about this, but it's not all or nothing. You understand, you are an ambassador from heaven. That means your Savior is in heaven, but your stewardship is here on earth. It can be both and. What do you mean both and? You can see that your Savior is Jesus Christ, born of a Virgin Mary, you know, born in a manger, and be faithful to do your best to pick the most righteous, the one who's going to, the official who's going to glorify God and honor God, the official who's going to stand on principle and not on the last survey that was taken. You can do both. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. So here's what I want to tell you. Christians, we need to stand for righteousness in the public square. That, I know we're not there yet, but the Savior that was born right here says that you are the light and the salt of the earth. The only way that you can do that right now, you can spread a little salt by voting for a person who's attempting to walk with Jesus. Now, we're all sinners saved by God's grace. Some people say, well, what's your primary litmus test for voting? Well, I think one of the primary ones is, do they choose life over death? I don't know how else to say that nicely. Do they choose life over death? The Bible says, select from among yourself people who are able, who fear God, who won't take a bribe, and who are truthful. And they're all going to be at different levels of holiness, you might say, in those areas. But one of the main plumb lines is, do they choose life over death? Maybe another one is, do they see God, the creator of the universe, as their God, or do they see government as their God? If they see government as their God, they're not a Christian. Government is not to be your God. The Messiah, born in a manger, Bethlehem, shepherds, Mary, Joseph, all this, we see that Jesus is the Messiah, and he is our God. He's our only source of hope. If the elected official's hope isn't something other than themselves or the institutions that they're going to work in, you understand that. Like when the institution that you work in, i.e. government, becomes your God, and then you work in that, you, in essence, become a self-appointed God. Think about that for a moment. What he's saying here is, my God was born in a manger, and he died on the cross and rose again, that I may have eternal life. My stewardship is here on earth. So I just encourage you, get out there and vote. You say, well, I don't know if my vote counts. Doesn't matter what you think. You need to get out and do the right thing. Because one day we give an account. We give account for how we stewarded our freedom here in America and how we stood for righteousness in Washington State. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray over these elections. God, we pray that you would be glorified. We know that elections reflect the heart of the people. So let our hearts be turned back to you, oh God. God, we pronounce Jesus Christ as our Savior, born of the Virgin Mary, born in a manger, witnessed by the shepherds, witnessed by Joseph in the town of Bethlehem. Yeshua is our Savior. We proclaim him as Lord. God, that we are only in this earth temporarily as ambassadors to reflect your glory. God, we repent of thinking that government is our God. We repent of thinking that somehow we can save ourselves or build our own tower and our own utopia. We repent of that, God. God, would you give us wisdom in our voting to decide between, to select from among ourselves people who are able, who fear you, who are truthful and won't take a bribe. Help us, God, to have that wisdom. We pray for Governor Bob Ferguson, for his salvation over him and his family. We pray over President Donald Trump, for him and his family to be saved. God, we pray over Maria Cantwell and Patty Murray and Michael Baumgartner and so many more, God, who are in our elected offices. We pray for salvation to flow over each one of them, God, that their hearts will be changed and transformed from the inside out. God, go before us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now get out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.